Good portion of the outline for this lesson was borrowed from Brother Jason Jackson. ChristianCourier.com, if you're not in the habit of reading Brother Wayne Jackson and his son Jason's work, I would recommend it to you. They have a lot of good writing on a lot of good topics that finds very direct application with a lot of the things that are going on today in the name of religion. Religion News Service, in an article published back in April of this year, says this, and I quote, "More than half of Americans think the Bible has too little influence on a culture that they see in moral decline. And yet, only one in five Americans read the Bible on a regular basis, according to a new survey." Among other things, this latest survey revealed that 88% of those surveyed said that they own a Bible. 80% of them said that they believe the Bible is sacred. 61% of them said that they wish they would read their Bible more. And the average household has 4.4 Bibles. However, 57% of those surveyed only read their Bible approximately four times a year. Only 26% of Americans said that they read their Bible at least four times a week or more. 26%. You know, a really good question at this point would be, who needs to read the Bible? One thing is for sure, if you can find an answer to a question in the Bible, it's going to be the good answer. And I think we can find that answer in Scripture. We could go to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, where God was talking to His people through Moses as they were preparing to go into the promised land, and God was talking to them about things that were going to happen over the years in the future. And one of the things that God said, and we made reference to this morning as it happened many years later, God said, there'll come a time when you'll have a king. There will come a time when you will choose for yourself a king that God will approve. And God laid out some ground rules for that king. He said, number one, he can't be a foreigner. Number two, he shall not multiply unto himself horses. And then in verse 18, God said, now it shall come to pass when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes. God said, every king who rules over my people, if he has to hand write a copy for his own use, needs to keep and read a copy of my law. In fact, we find in the Bible the oft-repeated story of leaders like Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Nehemiah, Ezra, and others who would from time to time gather together the great crowds of God's people, and they would have the law of God read to the people in a public situation, and they would read it, and the people would stand and listen for hours. There is also ample evidence that those who were pleasing to God read and studied His Word on an individual basis as well. The Bible is not an ordinary book. And as such, the Bible stands alone amidst the world's literature. It is the original revelation of God's nature, God's will. It alone is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction that is in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It can make us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. James chapter 1, verse 21 says that God's word is able to save our souls. At the conclusion of our Sunday morning and Wednesday evening Bible classes, we always ask for a show of hands of daily Bible readers. Now, that's not for some weird reason or because the elders want to keep check on everybody and get on to those who are not doing what they should be doing. It's purely a tool of encouragement to encourage all of us to read our Bibles every day, to get in the habit, to let it be a part of our daily routine to read the Bible. Most of us have been able to conclude on our own that there is a vast difference between just reading the Bible and getting something out of the Bible when we read it. In an effort to help those who want to do better, I want to share with you some simple rules for more effective Bible reading. Now, note these things apply to reading the Bible. Reading the Bible and studying the Bible are often two different things. And hopefully in the very near future we'll have a similar lesson where we will study ways to be more effective with our Bible studying. But these rules apply to our daily or whatever interval you choose Bible reading that we engage in, hopefully, in a regular fashion. And in fact, that's rule number one. Read the Bible regularly. Someone has commented that the child of God who needs convincing that he ought to read the Bible regularly is in spiritual peril already. He's already reached a point at which he's in danger in spiritual matters if he doesn't believe that he needs to read the Bible regularly. Now, we shouldn't let the word regularly turn into a blind routine where we do it just simply out of habit in order to check it off the list and say, okay, I've done it. And yet still, even that kind of daily Bible reading is better than no reading at all. But rule number one, we need to read the Bible regularly. Number two, the Bible should be read analytically. Now, don't let that big old $2 word throw you off. Let me tell you in simple terms what that means. The Bible needs to be read analytically. God intends for us to understand the Bible, so we need to analyze its component parts in order to better understand the Bible as a whole. For example, the Bible contains two major divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Understanding the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is helpful to being able to rightly divide or handle rightly the word of truth, as Paul instructs in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. When you get ready to read your Bible, especially when you begin a new book or a new section in your Bible reading, take a few minutes to maybe pull down a good Bible dictionary. Halley's Bible Handbook is an excellent tool and just look up the summary or the synopsis for that particular book or that particular section. As we study the Bible analytically, that means we dig just a little bit deeper than the basic words themselves. We're not looking for somebody to tell us what the Bible says, but we are looking for a better understanding of the parts of the Bible. Incidentally, you can get Hallie's Bible Handbook on the internet at Amazon.com or eBay for everywhere from $2 to $5 to $12 a copy. Well, that's not much more than a six-pack of Pepsis. What do you suppose would be the better thing to spend a little bit of money on? Rule number three. We need to read the Bible systematically. In other words, we need to read it with a good plan. A well-organized plan will help us in pretty much any endeavor, and the Bible is certainly no exception. There are a number of Bible reading plans, daily Bible reading schedules, calendars that break the Bible up into various parts. They work all different kind of ways. Pick one that works good for you. One of my favorite is one that has you reading about four chapters of the Bible a day. And in a year's time, you'll get almost through the Bible, but you're reading four chapters from a couple of different parts of the Bible at a time. You may prefer to stick with the same area of the Bible as you read through. But the point is, get a plan, get a schedule, and stick to that schedule. It'll do a lot of things for you, but most of all, it'll help you to develop a routine, a good routine, in study or reading the Bible regularly. In fact, if you're looking for a good Bible reading schedule or calendar and having trouble finding one, let me know. I'll be glad to help you find one. Number four, we must read the Bible persistently. For some folks, Bible reading at times has been or can be a discouraging experience. Now, that sounds like a bad thing for a preacher to say, doesn't it? But the fact is, there are many people, in fact, I have a good friend in another city who, upon the death of his wife several years ago, and I preached her funeral, he came to me, and he was not at that time going to church anywhere, and he said, you know, I'm really struggling. And he said, I'd like for you to recommend some Bible reading for me. And I did that, and some other things, did as much as he would let me do, and after a while, I found out that he hadn't been able to stick to it. He'd had a lot of other things going on in his life, and he'd allowed those things to distract him. Not long ago, I was talking to him, and this is several years later, and everything in his life has kind of calmed down and gotten into a rut, so to speak, and he doesn't have nearly as many distractions to deal with anymore, and he was talking to me about how much he is enjoying reading the Bible. He said, you know, you recommended that I read certain passages after my wife died several years ago. And he says, and it really just didn't work for me. But he says, it was really me that wasn't working. He said, now I've been able to attack it. That may not be a good choice of words. But he was talking about it as though it were a task. He said, I've been able to stick with it, and it's done me so much good. There are a lot of reasons why people at times don't do well with a Bible reading experience. Sometimes they have unrealistic expectations. Some people take down the Bible and begin to read it because they think the Bible is going to flash immediate answers into their mind about every problem they have, and especially the spiritual problems. And it's not always that way. Sometimes people take Bible reading as a fill-in or a substitute for every kind of spiritual activity that they should be involved in. Daily Bible reading will not take the place of regular worship assembly. It will not take the place of fellowship with God's people. There are a lot of things that daily Bible reading won't take the place of, and if we're trying to use it as a fix-all, it's not going to be a good experience. Sometimes people run up on passages that are very hard to understand and sometimes even very confusing, and often that comes with some outside help that's usually even more confusing. And the Bible reading experience is looked back upon as something that they wish they'd never gotten involved in. One serious Bible student that I know of many years advocates that when you read the Bible, do so with a notepad close by. And when you come upon a passage that's hard to understand or a difficult verse, jot it down, write the reference down, and keep going with your reading, and then schedule some separate time to come back later and really study that hard verse in detail. But don't let it build a roadblock there in your Bible reading so that it stops you from that. Because it's often difficult to get back started as effectively as you were when you stopped. Be persistent in your reading. Number five, we should read the Bible completely. Some books of the Bible captivate our attention more so than others. Some passages of Scripture are more immediately relevant to our spiritual needs. And yet we should neglect none of the books of the Bible. We should not just skip around and pick certain subjects or certain characters or certain history. We need to read the whole Bible. We need to read it completely. 1,189 chapters. And read it again and again and again. Number six, the Bible needs to be read reverently. Bible reading is not a matter of Pharisaic self-congratulation, nor should it degrade into a mere routine or habit. It needs to be read carefully as God's Word, with reverence for the author, respect for the message, with honor to the will of God. For reverent readers, nothing goes together better than Bible reading and prayer. And it seems reasonable that the persistent reader will become more reverent with the passing of time and the exercise of properly reading God's Word. Number seven. We should read the Bible fervently. Mortimer J. Adler, American educator and philosopher of the first two-thirds of the 20th century. He once wrote a piece entitled, How to Read a Book. Here's an interesting quote from that piece. I want to read it to you. He says, "The rules for reading yourself to sleep are easier to follow than the rules for staying awake while reading. Get into bed in a comfortable position. Make sure the lighting is inadequate, just enough to cause a little bit of eye strain. Choose a book that is either terribly difficult or terribly boring. In any event, you don't really care whether you read it or not. And you'll be asleep in a few minutes. Those who are experts in relaxing with a book do not have to wait for nightfall. A comfortable chair in the library will do any time. I think I can relate to that. If you've never fallen asleep while reading your Bible, I think there's probably something wrong with you, or either something incredibly right about your life. But chances are we've all experienced those times when we were not in a good place. We didn't feel up to the task. We didn't have good lighting to read by. We'd forgotten our glasses and our arms got tired from holding the Bible out so far we could see it. And we went to sleep. Does that sound like what God's Word is due? We need to read the Bible with focus and with fervency. It may not matter if your mind wanders when you're reading the editorial in the Sunday paper, but with the Bible, it matters if your mind wanders. Like anything that we do for God, the effort we expend in reading, comprehending, and retaining His Word can make an eternal difference. Choose a time of day for your Bible reading when you're alert. Select a place where you won't be distracted. Turn the TV off and focus. Rule number 8. We should consider reading the Bible collectively. Friends, dating couples, married couples, young and old, entire families, parents with children, devotional groups, entire congregations would be better off for reading the Bible together. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean physically in the same location. The great benefit to Bible reading is when we're all reading through the Bible and all this week reading the same passage. For you see, it opens the door to discussion, questions and answers among ourselves. All kind of things like that that make the end result better for everybody involved. And of course, nothing is better for us in the group setting than the words of Scripture. And in the physical sense, nothing can draw a family closer together than reading God's Word together at a certain time, regularly scheduled, so that everybody knows and everybody can plan for it. Obviously, there could be hundreds of good rules that we might observe that would help us in some way or another in reading God's Word. I suppose in some respects, very much like we talked about this morning in thinking so much about the things we need to do that we forget to think about the things that we need to think, we often may take Bible reading for granted. We sometimes abuse it by doing it in such a way that it is one of the least productive things that we engage in. And it is for that very reason that some people have abandoned the process completely. There is no good result in abandoning God's Word. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we're going to sing this song to encourage you and invite you to respond as we stand and sing.